Psalm 89. There will be times in the lives of God's people when it will appear as though God is nowhere near. There will be moments when even the most faithful can cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in those moments, we can begin to think God is angry with us and has turned against us. After all, this can be a possibility. It's possible for us to do things and say things that do anger God and cause Him to turn against us. Sometimes when we're broken down and low, it will almost appear as though God is on the side of the enemy, not on the side of those who are right with Him. If you ever felt this way, then you could relate to Psalm 89. From the superscription, we see that Psalm 89 is a masculine psalm. What that means is that this psalm was written for didactic, instructional, and educational purposes. The psalm was written by Ethan the Ezrahite. Ethan was an extremely wise man who lived in the days of David and Solomon. We see that in 1 Kings 4:31. And this is his only psalm that is published in the Psalms. It's possible that he was a musician. Now, the psalm is obviously written when there had been some defeat and depression. The psalm begins with praise, but it ends with an appeal to God to turn his anger away and pour out his blessings once again. There is something that is striking about this, because all through the psalm, God is praised for his greatness and faithfulness. That's the key to the psalm. So when we're experiencing negative things and think we have been abandoned by God, we need to keep praying and keep focused on the true theology revealed about the greatness of God. And this is what Israel needs to do, and this is what we need to do. Let's face it, God could take his blessings away from any of us and have good reasons for doing so. Who of us have not done or said things that would give God the absolute right to stop blessing us from now on until we get into eternity? The last thing we want to do is to lose sight of how great God is. So we first of all see that the psalmist will sing of the loving kindness and faithfulness of God. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 89. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. So no matter what we've done, no matter how miserable we may be because we have done things to make ourselves miserable, we can always sing of the mercy and faithfulness of God. The truth is, any chance we have of having God bless us is due to his mercy and his faithfulness, not ours. And we notice from verse 1, the mercy and faithfulness of God is to all generations. If it were not for the mercy and faithfulness of God, no one would ever get to see heaven. So let's ask ourselves three simple questions. Has God been good to you? Has God been merciful to you? Has God been faithful to you? And no matter how depressed you are, you too can sing of these things as Ethan did. But then the psalmist praises God for his choice to make a covenant with David. Look at verses 3 and 4. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Selah. One of the things that's so important for God's people to remember when they feel out of step with God is that God chose us and made a covenant relationship with us. He did that with David, and he's done that with us. Now, David was not a perfect man, and neither are we. But God chose David, and God entered into a covenant relationship with David. And any who believe on Jesus Christ, the Davidic king, are also in a covenant relationship with God. And no matter how low you feel, think about that fact. God chose you and made us kings and priests. We can sing of that forever. And then Selah says, stop and think about that. And then the psalmist praises God for his sovereign greatness. Look at verses 5 through 8. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. I'm convinced that God uses dark times in our lives to cause us to realize what a great and awesome God he truly is. No angel in the sky, no human on earth can begin to compare with God. And do not overlook what's said in verse 7, that godly people have a great fear and reverence for God. The nearer one is to God, the more one will reverence God. Irreverence is rebellion, is what Charles Spurgeon said. But then the psalmist reminds God of his sovereign ruling power. Look at 9 through 14. You rule the raging of the sea when its waves rise and still them. You crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with a mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. High your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Ethan realized that God ruled over everything. He has the power to create and control everything. He controls the ocean. He controls and destroys political powers. Rahab is often used as a synonym for Egypt. He is in sovereign control of the heavens and the earth and everything in the world. He made everything in the north and in the south and all the mountains. Tabor and Hermon are mountain ranges. God is strong, mighty God. He exalts with his right hand. There are these four governing principles by which God always operates with all of his majestic power: righteousness, justice, loving kindness and mercy, and truth. And then the psalmist reminds God of the positive nature of blessed people. Look at verses 15 through 18. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of your strength, but your favor, our horn is exalted. But for our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. So God chooses to bless his people. There's positive things that happen. People being blessed by God make a joyful sound. They have an obedient walk. They have perpetual joy. They have an exalted righteousness. And people being blessed by God had a divine strength, and they have a divine exaltation. And notice the key to being exalted is the favor of God. But they also, blessed by God, have a strong defense. The reason why people blessed by God have a strong defense is because God is their defense. And then the psalmist reminds God of his exalted election. Verses 19 through 29. Of old you spoke in the vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of the heavens. Ethan believed in the doctrine of election, and it was that belief that motivated him to pray. There were seven realities brought out about this doctrine. Election is known in a vision. It's clearly a reference to the vision of Samuel, who saw David as king. Israel is no afterthought. She's chosen of God, and that choice was given by God in a revelatory vision. God anointed his elected servant. God will strengthen the one he has elected. God will permit the enemy to deceive or destroy, will not permit the enemy to deceive or destroy his elected servant. God will destroy the enemies of his elected one. God will be faithful and merciful and will exalt his elected one. And God will be faithful to bless his descendants. God does all of these things for the one he elects. The doctrine of God electing you is a precious doctrine, because this doctrine guarantees that even though we may have some moments of faithlessness, God will always be faithful. And then the psalmist reminds God of his eternal care promise. Look at verses 30 through 37. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove them from him, my steadfast love, or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. Selah. So look at that section of scripture. God made a promise to Israel that even if she refused to obey his word, he would not cast off his promises to her. He would punish her, but he would never abandon her. And once God makes a promise that he will do something, his promises are secure and sure. The perpetual existence of the moon is a great illustration of the perpetual promises of God. And he says Selah again, which means stop and think about that. And then the psalmist reminds God of his present sovereign decree of hardships. Look at verses 38 through 45. But now you have cast off and rejected. You are full of anger against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown in the dust. You have breached all his walls. You have laid his strongholds in ruins. All who pass by plunder him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword, and you have not made him stand in the battle. You have made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have crowned him with shame. Selah. There's absolutely no question that no matter how difficult things get, faithful people of God acknowledge the sovereignty of God. And Ethan believed God sovereignly controlled everything, the positive and the negative. There's no question that disobedience can bring about some serious negative consequences. If sin is not truthfully and honestly faced, it does have serious repercussions. Many of these things we may observe do apply to Israel right now. She's not faced up to what she did to Jesus Christ and will cost her. God sovereignly permitted the Davidic kingdom to be rejected. God sovereignly permitted the Davidic kingdom to seem to be ruined. God sovereignly permitted the Davidic kingdom to be reproached. And God sovereignly permitted the adversaries to seem to be exalted. God sovereignly permitted the righteous to lose. And God sovereignly permitted the righteous greatness to cease. And then lastly, the psalmist asked God to remember his promises. Look at verse 46. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. From what vanity you have created all the children of man. What man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Selah. Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, how your servants are mocked, and how I bear in my heart the insults of all the many nations with which your enemies mock, O Lord, with which they mock the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Remember these things. Remember, a person's life is short, and if he is to experience God's blessing, it must come in a short span of time. Remember your former mercy and faithfulness to David. Remember the reproach that enemies bring about and against your people. And remember, you are blessed of God forever. And then the psalmist ends this masque by saying, God is blessed forever. Amen and amen. Truly, truly, no matter what's going on, this theological reality is reality. And God is blessed forever.